who measured it with money? When I asked if you're rich, who used money to do that calculation? Okay. Oh, yeah. I want to see some hands. I know most people did, right? Okay, great. So we will do talk number 9, which is not wake up. I swear this is not what it sounds like, but it is how to get rich, which it's not snake oil. I promise we'll get into it. So what does being rich mean? Does anyone have like a general consensus of like, what does it mean to be rich? Emil? It's a tough question to answer, right? So when I was 7, it was having a Charizard Pokemon card. Like if you had that card when you were 7 years old, your friends thought you were rich. You're so incredibly, incredibly lucky. Yeah. When I was 12, it was having the latest PlayStation, Nintendo 64, whatever the console was of the time. It was like, oh, your parents are rich. I see. Like you got the console, you got the games. That's great. When I was 15, it was having a house. I lived in a tent for 6 months because I left my parents and I had to wait for my grandparents to literally like move into the state to come take care of me. So it was literally just having a house would make me feel rich, having a roof to over my head. And it really shows the perspective of what is rich. Rich is whatever the thing that you need right now, having that in your life. And then at some point in college, things started to change a little bit. I don't know why, but I got this idea in my head of, oh, I want to be a millionaire, because that's what being rich is, right? I want to be rich. I want to be a millionaire. And everyone has that perception of like the millionaire lifestyle. And so I started kind of keeping score with money. And does anyone here remember when you started keeping score, when you started counting the dollars in your bank account, and every day you would open up your app or log in or go to the bank and be like, how much money I got in there? Like, how are we doing? Good? Are we doing bad? Everything in life starts kind of being a score that has to do with money. And I thought I was doing pretty good until I met my mentor, who at 26 years old in 1999, he was the chief technology officer and co-founder of TradeX Technologies, who he exited for $5.6 billion. Which was the largest acquisition, because he sold it in Tampa, Florida, and in Florida for decades. So $5.6 billion. I was like, oh, okay, that's what being rich is. I get it. Now, he told me that it had nothing to do with money at the time, but I didn't listen because I was like, but you got billions of dollars. Of course, it has to do with money. What are you talking about? It's got to be that. So over my career, I kind of mimicked him. And I was like, well, I want to be a chief technology officer and I want to found a business and do this and that. And eventually I did. And I started a couple companies. And one of the first companies that I really had hit off was a company called CareValet. And CareValet was a healthcare company. So I could actually do something that helped real people solve their everyday needs. And I was, for the first time in my life, rich, but only on paper. Because the way that most startups work, particularly VC-backed ones, is you just get equity. Right, so you got a magic number in an account somewhere that isn't physical money that you can access. It wasn't until a couple of years later that I started my own software development consultancy and finally was rich on paper and in bank account. But what does that look like? So immediately I went out and I did what every American would do whenever you get rich and you get the American dream. I bought my dream house at 5 garages. I started burning money like crazy. I bought all the cars I wanted. I like red cars. I literally bought a car for every purpose. That car definitely was my wife's. That's what I told her. I bought it for her, but I'm the only one that drove it. I did everything that you probably shouldn't do. And my dog lived the best life. Like he literally lived the best life. I got that waterfall for him because he just loved to lay next to it. So everything was going great, right? I made it. I'm rich. Or did I? Because what does it mean to be rich? Apparently, it actually is having the Charizard Pokemon card. Totally blew my mind that was actually a thing. I was right at 7. Who knew? But for me, rich really is defined as the freedom to do what you want, when you want, with who you want, without needing permission. And particularly permission from yourself is one of the hardest things to get. Because whenever you're doing stuff, particularly in business, you kind of forget that you got to let off the gas sometimes. So what I wanted was to spend walks on the beach with my wife, my dog, travel with her. I wanted to hang out with friends and you know, go enjoy spending time with them and meet new people that I share a passion with and, you know, and, you know, learn more about things that they like. But what was I doing? I was trapped in a room pretty much 16 to 18 hours a day, talking to hundreds of people, doing business, building things, and I was miserable. I was basically chained to my desk and with a money printer. And some people go, oh, that's so tough, right? Like you're chained to a desk. You sit at an ATM that's just spitting money out. And if you walk away, it's going to stop. How long would you sit there? How long would you stay next to that money printer going, well, I can't leave. Like it's printing money, right? Like I have to do it. But that's where I kind of realized something has to change, because if I'm rich, why am I not able to do what I want when I want with the people that I want? And why am I missing so many events in other people's lives that they're able to do and they're not rich? So what's happening? What happened? So I built this app, and it was a really big eye opener for me, because I never quantified my life or life in general. I recommend everyone scan this QR code. I think it's still up and running and working. It worked a couple days ago, so we'll check. But this essentially shows you your life in months. This is how many months you have. So if you were born in 1980, January, you have 369 months left to the age 76. So this is the average life expectancy in the United States. And you can adjust that in the app depending on where you are. In Japan, it'd be like 200, right? So, and it also breaks down how many weekends you have left, because a lot of people, we're working for the weekend, right? So we have 1,597 weekends left until 76. And when I built this, it really opened my eyes and said, okay, how many months do I have? Like, I can kind of track out the stuff I want to do and my goals and everything, and I'm going to run out of months. This sucks, because I can't do anything that I want to do right now. I know how many more months it's going to take. So I explained to my wife and I love my wife. She's super analytical and loves data. She does a lot of work with data. So I put together this wonderful presentation. I explained to her, we have to change our life. Something's not working. Now she says it was more like this, but I think it was a little bit more put together. And I'm like showing her, look at our life in months. Like, look, we have to do something, right? We have to change something. And we're going to be old and we're going to not have done anything that we wanted to do, right? We have everything, but we have nothing really, because we don't have any time. So how do we change it? How do you change your life that drastically? We change what we measure. So at that point, we were keeping score with money. And there's a behavioral economist that says the minute you start measuring something, you start changing the way you behave. So we've been conditioning ourselves our whole life to measure everything by money. And that's how we conditioned ourselves to behave. It shapes how you act in ways, and it is so true. And Thoreau says the price of anything is the amount of life you exchange for it, which is just too true. So what do? We stopped measuring everything by how much money we were getting for it, and we changed to measuring everything by time. How much time do we get for this? So money is something we can get more of, but time's something that you can never get back once it's used up. So we looked at things like, how are we spending the currency of our time? And again, we're very data driven. So we literally made spreadsheets and we took every single thing in our life that we were spending money on, that we're spending time on, and we tried to figure out how to cut as many things as possible so that we could start exchanging the currency of time for the things that we want and making sure that we could stockpile time, not money. So we sold everything. Literally, we came to the conclusion we're going to have to not live the lifestyle that we're living. Let's get rid of it all. Also, pro tip, never buy a giant couch. Nobody wants it whenever you try to sell it. Like, doesn't matter how nice it was, how big it was. Nobody wants your giant couch. You cannot give it away. It is a horrible investment. But we were kind of left with a big question of like, where do we go, right? There's a lot of places we could go. We came down to two places, Italy and Japan. And we eventually, obviously, picked Japan. So why Japan? So we grew up in the 90s. We're children of the 90s. Everything in our life was basically imported from Japan in the 90s. The TV shows, the food, the games, everything. Like, everything was from Japan. So we both had this deep, deep love of Japan. And we had just spent a wonderful trip for about a month in Japan. And we knew how much we loved it. It was amazing, like, as we all know from being here, right? It's a wonderful, wonderful country. And that's the number one reason why we picked Japan more than anything else. But there are some other things. So we were incredibly inspired by all these people here as well. So, you know, we have been seeing content for years. The first time I ever heard about an Akia was from Tokyo Llama. If anyone's familiar with his channel, about 5 years ago, he posted, I bought this big rural property that I need to renovate. And I was mind blown because it was this giant, beautiful house. And it's just one dude that bought this house and he's renovating it and is amazing content. But there's so many other awesome people that gave a lot of information to make it something that's like, okay, this isn't a dream. This is something that can be reality. Like this, people are doing this. This is an actual viable option, is moving to Japan. So I also sat down with my wife together and we were like, anyone familiar with Ikigai? Ever? Okay. So we want to find our Ikigai. And we had done this before, but we always end up something like this, where we find some stuff that we're good at, that we can be paid for, and we kind of love it. But like, we love it because we're getting paid for it probably. And we never really connected on the what's the world need and the mission part of it. And I think back to my days when I was working at the healthcare company, and the number one thing that I love the most about working in a healthcare company is you're directly impacting people every day. You are seeing people get help from something that you did. And it's amazing. It's the best feeling ever. It's better than mine. So we came up with the kind of solution or the way that we want to approach our Ikigai. We want to help real people. We want to solve hard problems. We want to help bring dreams of people into focus, regardless of what they are. And we want to always value our time over our money and everything that we try to do going forward. So this is how we developed our real estate investment thesis for Japan. So, and this is my thesis. This is not necessarily something that everyone's going to agree with, but this is how I'm approaching Japan. And over the next year, I'm going to be investing close to $1 million in properties in Japan. So I'm putting my money where my mouth is. This is where we're going. So for deploying capital in Japan and maximizing time over money, this is the thesis. Single family homes are better than everything else. We'll get into why later. Happy long-term tenants are greater than short-term. And cash flow is better than returns. This is my thesis. I know a lot of people might not agree, but this is my approach. So I don't want to build a portfolio of properties. What I'm trying to do is build a portfolio of extremely happy long-term tenants, because cash flow is the number one thing that I'm going for. So of course that immediately pops up. How do we do this? Is it legal? Where do we start? Why is this so hard? Why are there so many people that are negative about this? How do we find properties? Why is there so much conflicting info? Where are the tools? And as we started researching and things came a little bit more clear, you know, we were really left on, man, there is a lot of conflicting info out there. I'm sure everyone has read, I read this article and I read this blog and they all say three different things, right? You cannot pin down the actual information unless you're here. So how do we evaluate properties? Where are the tools? And what we found out was there aren't any. In the United States, for real estate in general, there are hundreds of tools. Like there's 10 new tools every single day, but there's not a ton here. So originally, my wife and I sat down and we created our own system. We just started making spreadsheets. We started building out our own tools to help us evaluate properties because we knew what we were generally looking for, and we started rating them on four or five different metrics and consolidating all the information. It was a lot of work to do this manually. Eventually, we met Shu, and he helped us really make the whole process a lot easier after all the work that we put in. We had put in probably 3 to 6 months of work of just thinking about it, researching, doing stuff before we met Shu. And then whenever he was able to make that actually happen, we bought our first house very quick. I think we put in an offer and closed in 30 days, right? And it was great. It was fast. And that's where Shu and I talked and said, let's build AkiHub. Like, let's make this easy for way more people. So that's where in December, we officially founded the company and we launched on February 10th. So what is AkiHub? So originally, the general idea was, hey, there's a lot of information out there. And there is, if you just look at YouTube and Instagram alone, right, there is so much attention on IKEA. Who's heard about IKEA before? Like everybody hears about this, right? So we wanted to have AkiHub be the front door, kind of a funnel for all the attention, so that we can be the front door for the information, so that you can get reliable, trusted information from a single source. And then we'll provide lots of things like articles, guides, discussions, build a real community, do events, have our services, calculators, other tools. So we launched February 10th. We are not at 3,500 members. I'm wrong. I was a little bit too hopeful. We're like 12 short from yesterday, like 12 people. If I wait like 2 hours, we'll probably be at 3,500 members, but we're so close. We're 3,500-ish members and growing for our first 2 months. And we're on track for hopefully 20,000 before the end of 2025. So the community is growing fast. And the sooner you're there, the better, because we're scaling our team, but we're not going to be able to scale that fast. So we're going to need a lot of help from other experts in the field. So at a high level, I don't want to go in too much of a demo of the whole platform, so I just grabbed a couple of different screenshots to show stuff around. We do have a property finding, we call it a property feed tool. And instead of it being a needle in the haystack Zillow alternative where you just put in 100 filters and try to find properties, we took a little bit of a different approach where you really only set 4 or 5 things. You set a location that you're interested in. We have a max distance from station, which is really important to people. We added later. Affordability. So you put in your budget and then we tell you what you can actually afford, because just because you have $100,000 doesn't mean you can afford a $100,000 property. There's a lot of taxes and fees and other things that go into that. So we don't want you to start searching for things that are just going to be out of your budget to begin with. Then we have a minimum year built and a minimum interior size. That's it. You set those things up and you start seeing properties one at a time. And is anyone familiar with like Tinder or dating apps and stuff that they have? This is kind of like that, where you see one person, one property at a time, and you just say, hey, I'm not interested in this one, or I am interested in this one. And after you do this a couple times, you'll hopefully find a property that you are interested in. And we have a little bit of a scoring system. So what this does is you just give a gut feel of, is this a good location? Like, how do I feel about this location? Do I like it? How do I feel about the quality of the house, the price, the opportunity for whatever it might be? And you save that property to your list. And what we're able to do is we have an algorithm in the background that looks at all the properties you've said yes and no to. We identify all the traits of those properties so that the next property that you see is just a little bit better than the last one. So by the time you get to 50, 60 properties, almost every one is something that you're like, I want to buy this house. Like, I want to know more about it. Once you save those, of course, you can go and you can look at your own personal Akia list so you can see all these properties. And I want to call out one thing about like the term Akia. It just means vacant house. It doesn't necessarily mean a rural farmhouse. It just means a house that's used for sale. And most other markets, like, it would just be a house for sale. But, you know, Japan has this hot word right now. So that's where we took our namesake from. But you can come and access these. You can put notes on these properties. This is basically your full like research and details about the property for your list here. You can get all the pricing details from it, everything that you need personally for your list to manage this. And then the platform has a lot of things. Like, we have a lot of discussions we do. We do like weekly challenges on like trying to find the best property at certain price points in different areas and compare them. We have a lot of guides, like very comprehensive, detailed guides. Things from looking and searching for properties down to garbage separation and collection in Japan, because it's very complicated. That right side is the entire length of the guide. Like, that's how much content there is on garbage. It's a lot. And it depends on your prefecture, your area, sometimes even your local neighborhood. We also have a lot of articles that we post. So these are free. Anyone that signs up can access all of these, and they can see all the basic questions that we all get asked a ton about IKEA, or properties, or real estate, or just Japan. We have a lot of those in there that we've answered for people. And then we have tools like our calculators. So we want to really make sure that people have the transparency of fees and other things that come in to buying a property. So it's not just the purchase price. There's so many other things here, and they're always variable. So we make sure that you can edit and change these things based on the property that you're looking at. And then finally, we have some things we call wizards. So these were first personally for me, because I was like, I need to learn hiragana and katakana. So I will build my own flashcard thing so I don't have to pay for one in the app store. And then the visa wizard was really interesting, because a lot of people that want to buy a property want to move to Japan and they don't know where to even start with a visa. And it can take a lot of time for them to find a immigration attorney to even help them begin to talk about what the options are. So we built a kind of a dynamic form where it asks about 30 questions. And the more detail you give it, the better. And we use AI to give you a very detailed recommendation of what visa would make sense for you and in your life. And that's all I'm going to go over Akia right now. So if you guys want to scan the QR code, you can check it out yourself and open for questions.
Yeah.
Mike.
Croissant.
Hey, what a great job you've done, and it's fantastic how you've changed your perspective on how to value time versus money. Have you got a filter that will help you look for multifamily? Because, you know, if you want to serve long-term tenants,
so right now,
the faster, better way is multifamily.
Right now, we're only doing single family homes. We don't do apartments. We don't do multifamily, but of course we're expanding. So our data partner, Akiamart, who knows about Akiamart or have heard of Joey and Take before? Okay, awesome. So we work with Akiamart to get all of the data. So we have all those properties there, but for now we're really focusing on the single family homes that, because we really have a split. It's about 50% people that just want their own vacation home or a primary home for themselves. And then about 50% of people that want a rental, or they're kind of wishy-washy about it and like, oh, I want to stay in it, but I don't. And I want it to be a vacation property, but I don't. And I want to make money. So we kind of help guide those people and figure out, what do you really want? Like, what are your goals? And then let's do something realistic for that.
Any other questions?
So can you elaborate a little bit more on where you're getting your data from? You said Akiamart,
yes.
But are you also taking your data from, sorry, I forgot the name of it, the equivalent of what the MLS is?
Yeah. So Akiamart, the way that their service works is they go through every single major, like Zillow Alternative, Sumo, At Home, Yahoo, all that. They add them like every month. There's like a new one that they add to the data set. And they're able to pull every single property that they have into their data set. And then they do it every day. So every day they'll get the latest updates, they'll add things, remove things, update things. But I talked about on the panel yesterday, a nice thing is they've been accumulating this data for almost 2 years. So we're starting to have enough data that we can build some real cool data analytics tools on top of it to start having things that are a little bit more insightful than just this house is available or not. But that's the source of all the data.
But then what's the percentage of that versus say what might be available for sale? What's the percentage of that versus, I mean, how does that potential inventory compare to what you might have access working with a professional realtor like Emil?
So it really depends. It's what's on market or off market. Of course, we have our own sources for off market properties and we post them separately. It's not in the feed because they're very off on and off market very fast, right? So we actually have like an off market section for those people that are interested in making really fast deals. But primarily, I think Akiamart has around 2 million listings. And we know just thinking of Akia, there's like 10 million now. They're not all actually available to purchase, but they have around 2 million listings. They're pretty comparable to Rains right now. There are definitely properties that Emil's going to have and Shu and a lot of our other partners have that are just nowhere. You have to have the connections. And that's why we're not just building. It's primarily not a search tool. That's not what Akia is. It's a community. Right. So we can build the networks and we can extend the trust that we've built with all those partners to you as a community member so that we can say, hey, we actually have a list of these off-market properties because I know you're looking in this area. Are you interested in these? And we can set up a viewing and talk to them.
Great presentation. You are a great public speaker.
Thank you.
I agree. Just quickly confirming, does your system pull listing data from various real estate websites in Japan, like athome.com, et cetera, and advertise them on your website? If so, do you need to request permission from the various websites, listing agents, et cetera, or are you pulling listing data from before you advertise on your website?
Yeah,
like, do you request permission?
Yeah. So again, we work with Akiamart and they're the guys that manage and run all the data. So we have a contract with them in order to get access to everything. They pull listing data from At Home and Nifty and all the different sites. However, they have a whole bunch of different ways that they filter and qualify this data. We don't advertise properties, right? So we're not like these aren't publicly available listing. Like the feed isn't something that you can just access. You have to be a paying member of the community to access the platform. So it's behind a paywall. It's closed off. We're not like remarketing these houses. And we're not sending a ton of traffic. We try our best to not send a ton of people to these realtors and to the agents that don't want to talk to foreigners. They don't normally work with foreigners. They want to work with someone who's bilingual or like someone like us that can support them and handle those services. So we show them the properties to give our members an idea of what they're looking for. You know, a lot of people just don't know what it is that they want until they see it. So that's why we've built the feed, and the feed helps you identify what you like. And maybe you don't find the property with the feed, but what you've done is you've gathered a lot of data about what you don't like and what you do like so that we can help you find the property that you're looking for.
Yeah, that was a great presentation. My question is kind of the process. So if I am a member and I start finding properties in my area and I want to actually purchase these properties, what's the next step after that? So I've identified my properties. Do I contact you to be the go-between? Yep. Is there a fee for that? Or do I contact the realtors?
Yeah. So we have a couple of different services right now. You know, everyone's probably aware of Shoes. Service is done for you. White glove. Like, we'll do everything. We'll just, you tell us the house, we'll make it happen. But we're launching next month, or hopefully at the end of this month, a new service called Your Journey. And what Your Journey is, it's your journey. It's a 10-step process. So you go through and find some houses, and we have a service called a basic inquiry where we'll just contact the agents, establish a relationship and make sure that they're open to working with us, and get some basic information about the property, make sure it's available, the price, the address of it. We also have comprehensive reports that we do where we will do a deep dive on the property and, more importantly, the area, because 50% of the actual decision making isn't the house most of the time. It's the area. How close is the closest convenience? How close is the grocery store? How close is the pharmacy? Like, all these things, we give you a very detailed report on, like, the closest 50 amenities. How long does it take to walk? How long does it take to bike? How long does it take to drive? Where's the stations at? What are the next closest town to this area? We go really, really deep in these comprehensive reports and on all the property details. So we work with the agent more closely at this point, again, deepening that relationship with the agents, because I think everyone knows, like, in Japan, the relationship with the agents is probably the number one thing. Like, they're not as in, especially for lower price houses, they're not as motivated to work with these. So they have to see, like, a reason to work with you and want to work with you to get that information. Once you do that, then we go into the next steps where we do viewings. So you can either do a viewing of the property, or more like what we actually like to do is remote viewing. So we go and we shoot videos, and we basically do our own, like, not an inspection, but we take photos and videos of everything so that you can have a recorded, you can look at it 100 times, the best view of what the property really looks like. Then if you want to submit an offer, we do that, and we can go into the offer stage. And then we have a contract day, we have, you know, transferring the funds, closing day, all those steps. And then finally, do you need help setting up utilities? Do you need renovations? Do you need property management companies? We have partners that do those things. We don't do them ourselves, but we help you connect with them and make sure that you get started off on the right foot.
One more question from the stream. What's one main thing you would suggest for a new buyer?
One main thing is really do the research on the location before you ever even look at a house. Like, find an area that you like, and you might have to do this 3 or 4 times because there just might not be properties, but really try to find an area. And if you can, if you're in Japan or you have someone that's in Japan, go there, go to the area, walk around during the middle of the day, walk around towards the evening when people are out and about, see what the area is like first, and then start your search to try to find a house.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. So I am a member of Akia Hub. I joined recently. I really love your tool, especially the map tool. It makes everything a lot easier. And, you know, I've been a longtime follower of Shu. I love your course, you know, with KKSS. I think it's a really, really great step into whatever this is. My question is, so I use this tool, and I know it's you know, very similar to Akia Mart and as well as the other websites out there. But then, you know, same problem with all those other tools is that there's quite a huge step between looking at properties and then actually getting to buy a property. So I guess my question is, you know, since your tool is growing really, really fast, and then I imagine a lot of people are going to start using it, are you going to expand more on getting to, so from online search to buying, like trying to shorten that process?
Yeah.
Or is this something that's even bigger than, you know, what I guess, you know, within the real estate range, which is, you know, what you talked earlier about time, I guess, you know, this have the potential of being, I guess, like a TikTok or like a Tinder, where it's not exactly for searching properties, but a good way for people to spend their time and have their attention focused on, you know, the tool that you're building. which in turn you're grabbing people's attention, and then that's how you plan on scaling this business and making the money.
Yeah. So luckily, we're not worried about making money, right? Like, that's not the goal of the business. That's not my goal. My goal is to have a awesome community of a ton of people, like everyone in this room, that's like-minded, that is trying to do the same thing, and for us all to share the best tips and tricks and knowledge and areas that we found that are, you know, untapped, so that we can all do the things that we want to do. And the people that should be buying properties and investing in Japan and are, you know, willing to respect the culture and enjoy it are the ones that are doing it. We want to facilitate that. That's the company's number one goal. After that, it's how do we make it easy for people to do that? And that's why we built the tools, right? So we're building tools. We have a backlog of like 20 tools that people have asked for, lots of members. We're adding those as fast as we can, and we're scaling the team. So we're already hiring as fast as we, like, 2 a month is the goal right now. So we're hiring people that can not just be on the platform and like help manage the community and add value there, but we're hiring local agents and trying to start bringing in agents ourselves. We actually kind of tried to acquire a brokerage as well. So that might still happen in the future so that we can really full stop, be able to handle everything at the quality that we want. Because, you know, it takes a lot of time to vet a brokerage and agents that you're working with and make sure that they're able to do the right thing. And one of the best ways might be to just buy one and make sure that we hire the right people and then do that ourselves. So we're looking into that as well.
Any other questions?
Thanks so much for that, Brett. Just curious, what's the membership sort of subscription or pricing model? Yeah.
So it's $25 a month, or you can get an annual subscription, 24% off. I think it's $228 a year. We're running discounts all the time, just depending on how we want to control traffic. We're not trying to get every single person. We're trying to get enough people that we can handle. So we actually turned off like signups for a little while and turned them back on because we want everyone to have a really good experience. And we don't want to grow too fast, right? And there's definitely the demand out there if you're interested. Yeah, that's general price. And then all the other things are kind of a la carte, like as you go, like the basic reports and comprehensives have different price points.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, awesome.